Welcome to the Young Grit Podcast for young entrepreneurs and their families, where we tell stories and lessons learned from the world's top leaders when they were kids. We're your hosts. I'm Scott.
And this is Trav.
We're best buds, and we've served millions of kids in our businesses. And we're on a quest to help young entrepreneurs succeed. Today's podcast is brought to you by MyFirstSale.com. MyFirstSale now offers scholarships to kids across America who can't afford to launch their own business on the site. We allow business sponsors to come in and click a link and pay for up to 10 to 500 students across America to launch. In exchange, they get a media release. They get videos thanking you from every single kid. It's a ton of fun. It's a great way to give back. It's basically your PR budget for the whole year. You'll thank yourself for doing it. So head on over to MyFirstSale.com if you're a business or an organization and you'd like to sponsor a large group of kids across America. Click on the sponsor tab at the top and you'll thank yourself for doing it. Welcome to the next episode. The show notes, transcript, and kid business tips for this episode are located at MyFirstSale.com/124. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Young Grit Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Donnell. I got my friend Travis Adams with me. Trav, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great, man. I'm doing good today. I'm excited about today's guest.
We have an awesome guest for you guys. And we're going to talk about a word that most of you under the age of 12 have never even heard of. But it's one of the most important ideas you can learn as you grow and develop. And it's called the word scapegoating. And the person that we're going to introduce you to, her name is Erin Tyler. Erin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be an awesome conversation. So Erin, for those of you who don't know, Erin is an incredible author. She's a writer. She is part of a company called Scribe Media with one of our friends, Tucker. And what they do is they help people write books. And so for all of you listening right now, and we know there's millions of you who love to read, who love to write, who love to dive into whether it's a fiction book or a personal health growth book, or you just sit and you love to learn, this is the podcast for you. So we're going to talk today about Erin's journey and how it led to this book, The Bad One, because I want everyone listening to get this book. We're going to put a link straight to it in our show notes for all of you guys to get. But it's one of the more interesting stories. When Trav told me about it, I said, okay, we got to interview this woman. She's brilliant. So Erin, before we start, we always ask a couple questions. All right.
Okay.
Favorite ice cream.
Mint chocolate chip.
There you go. Oh my gosh. That's me too. So
good.
Okay. Immediately we're friends. This is okay. Perfect. Okay. Superpower. One superpower. There's no bad ones. What would you want if you could have?
Probably flight. I'd want to fly.
That's awesome.
Me too. That would be mine too.
Like super fast flying?
That or invisibility. I think that'd be really cool.
Okay. All right. There you go. Like not in a creepy way though, right? Like not like spy.
No, not to spy or anything like that, but.
Okay. Just being able to go anywhere and no one would know.
Yeah. Just because I'm curious.
I love it. I think flying would be awesome, but I'm terrified of heights. So yeah. I'd have to get over that. I'd have to know that I would definitely not fall and hit the ground. Like that would be, I would want that one if I could know it, I wouldn't die.
Yeah.
Like okay.
Pink Floyd song.
Yeah, seriously. Next question and last one. Name one person that you could have a meal with. If they're dead or alive, any time in history or current, present, who would you want to have dinner with and why?
Oh, wow. Okay. Probably Frida Kahlo.
Explain to the audience and me who Frida Kahlo is.
Oh, she's the baddest, most incredible visual artist, I think, in history. She was absolutely brilliant. A Mexican, German-Mexican painter, from earlier in the 1900s, and she would do self-portraits, and they were so expressive and so brilliant, and I just so admire her, and I just really love to sit down with her and talk to her.
That is awesome. That teaches us a lot about you, right? That's really cool. That's really cool.
She did notice your paintings, Scott, right away. So
she did. I did. Yeah, I love
who she knew who drew them.
And she knew the artist. That's right.
Incredible. Never happened before.
Brilliant man, Hugh McLeod. Incredible.
Hugh McLeod, yeah. Okay, so this is awesome. I love this. So everyone listening, now you know Erin's chops. She loves art. She loves literature. She's well scholared. So Erin, this is before we start all of this, because this is an entrepreneurial podcast, we inspire young entrepreneurs and their families. We want to talk about the topic of your book, but I want to know how you got into book writing. What was the first time maybe when you were younger that you realized, yeah, this is me. This is what I want to do.
You know, that's such an interesting question because I do not have a typical story with regard to book writing. I actually ended up publishing out of hearing from people that I needed to publish, that I had a really great story that needed to be out there. And also from working in publishing for so many years, for about two decades now, I've been a publication designer and now I'm a creative director working at Scribe Media. So I handle the creativity involving the covers of the books that come through. Gotcha. And for years and years and years, I did book covers and I did book interiors. So I got to know the ins and the outs of the book publishing process, and my whole world was books. And at the same time, I was journaling and writing every day, just because I had a lot of problems when I was young and I had a lot of problems growing up. I had problems with eating disorders and I had problems with depression and self-esteem and things like that. And when I picked up, a daily practice of journaling, you know, those things didn't seem to bother me so much. And it was so therapeutic for me to sit down every day and just sort of write out my thoughts. And it became this incredible healthy habit that I adopted that made, you know, my life so much better. And it made space for me to heal. And it allowed me to figure out, you know, why it was I was having these problems and why and what I could do essentially to feel better. And so, you know, after, I don't know, it was probably about 20 years of journaling, wow. I put together some ridiculous amount of journal entries and edited them all down into this book. And this book is sort of the journey of self-discovery, of figuring out what your true self is.
Man, I love wow. that. That's inspiring. And so let me read, because you just brought to mind one thing very apparent. So I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the mission of Scribe Media is we're on a mission to unlock the world's wisdom. So it's very interesting to hear you say, through the process of putting your thoughts and feelings into words on paper, that is actually what led to your book. And then now your book is out and I can't wait to read it, but it is in turn unlocking the wisdom, I think, that you've learned and you hope to share with other people, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the best things about Scribe Media. It's one of the best things about my job. It is intensely gratifying because we tend to work with people who are, who have incredible stories, who have expertise, who have wisdom beyond wisdom, but are not people who would typically write or publish a book. And our mission, you know, which is kind of like an honor, actually, our mission is to help those people, you know, unlock what's inside of them and actually share it with the world, you know, without having to go back to school, you know, get an MFA in creative writing, you know, and then try to get traditionally published and all of these things. We're essentially making it easy for these people who know so much about what they've dedicated their life to put themselves out into the world. And it's a great honor. It's a great job too. I love my job.
Amazing. Amazing. And it, one of the things I love is that we coach tons and tons of kids. And one of the biggest things is, hey, let your passions drive what you love, right? Let the things you love, the things you're good at, the things that you feel like the world needs that fit with what you're good at, what you love, let that be your life, right? We call it the sweet spot, right? And you're hitting that. right now with the book and with your, with the job you have and the way that you're helping people, it fits so well with your best gifts and talents, right? And so that is probably the most encouraging thing for everybody listening is, look, Aaron, and I think a lot of the journal entries were hard, and a lot of, you know, there is pain in this too, is dealing with things and coming out with something that you love that can help the world. That doesn't mean it's easy, but what it does is it uses all of you. It fits with who you are, and it's so much more rewarding and satisfying and fulfilling to be a part of something that you really care about, that you really love. And so everyone listening, you got to chase like Aaron does. Chase the things that you're good at. Chase the things that you're passionate about, that you love to do. And in 20 years, it's going to turn into a worldwide massive home run like Aaron's got right now with this book. So let's talk about the book.
So well said. Like, people should just chase their joy. Hey, kids out there, chase your joy. That's your future. Chase your joy. Whatever you're passionate about, whatever makes you happy, whatever you're curious about, chase it.
Yeah. The joy is there as like a guidepost, just so you know.
Yep.
Not bad to love something that's helping the world and fits with who you are. So, great words of wisdom. Speaking of words of wisdom, please tell us, we got to get into this book. So the book is called Bad One. Yeah.
Yes. The Bad One.
And explain The Bad One. I know it's 20 years of your journal entries boiled down, but you explained earlier that it was almost like dealing with certain things that had happened in your life, some of the things you were trying to think through, some of the things that were going on internally with you. What came out in the process of writing the book that you feel like is the main vein of the entire message?
Yeah. The main vein of the entire message is that your most important relationship that you're ever going to have is with yourself. It supersedes any other relationships. You know, I'm a mother now of two amazing sons, and they come first in my life, you know, protecting them, making sure they're okay, you know, loving them. That always comes first. But, you know, that isn't possible if I don't take care of my relationship with myself. And I think oftentimes, you know, when you are, when you grow up in families like mine, which was a dysfunctional family, which is very, very common. I mean, almost all families are dysfunctional in some way, shape, or form.
The definition of family is dysfunctional.
Yeah. I mean, all families, they have their stuff, right? When you grow up in a dysfunctional family, sometimes you can take, you can carry that stuff through life with you, and it creates scars within your sense of self. And, you know, the most important thing that you can do is sort out what's you and what's the dysfunctional family, toss that garbage and figure out how to love yourself.
Wow. Yeah. Now there's a message that kids do not hear enough, right?
Yeah.
If you could go into a time machine. Now there's a caveat here, because everything that happens in our lives creates who we are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want you to change anything necessarily, but if you go back and tell yourself something when you were in your teens or middle school, high school, what would you tell yourself?
Oh gosh, I would grip my child self by the shoulders and stare deeply into my eyes and say, "It's not your fault." Over and over and over. In fact, every time that scene from Good Will Hunting comes, "It's not your fault. It's not your fault."
Oh God, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we carry this intergenerational, darkness in us. And, you know, I mean, whatever we as parents don't deal with, before we have kids, we dump straight onto them, and then they'll dump it onto their kids if they don't deal with it. And this stuff, it just gets handed down and handed down. And, you know, I would be so emphatic that, you know, if you could just drop as much of it right now, as you possibly can, and start to evaluate yourself, in a very sort of inner towards outer way, you're just going to have a lot more fun in your 20s. A lot more fun, and you'll be a lot less sad, and you'll be living the kind of life that you deserve.
Yeah. What types of things are you talking about there? What types of different traumas emotional issues, what kind of things should we be discussing? Like, what comes to mind? Because I know kids hear you and they're like, well, what is going on in me that isn't my fault?
So, my situation is called scapegoating. That's actually the term for it.
Scapegoating. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called scapegoating. And it's a kind of unfortunate quirk of a dysfunctional family. When parents are struggling, and it's all out of struggle, it's not intentional at all. When they're struggling with their sense of self and feel as if, they can't accept that they've made mistakes and they can't accept that they've done anything wrong. And there has to be some sort of cause for them not thriving in the way that they feel that they should be. They do this unfortunate thing where they hold a child accountable for everything that goes wrong in their life. And they blame that kid, and that kid gets labeled the bad one. And, it can be a death sentence for some kids, in extreme cases. It's the cause of a lot of depression. It's the cause of a lot of eating disorders, of substance abuse. The statistics with suicide are horrible. It's the black sheep of the family, sometimes they call it as well. It can be a life sentence if you don't decide, okay, no, I'm just going to stop this and I'm going to throw it all away and I'm going to reinvent myself.
Two things. I don't want to lose these because I think these are two huge nuggets that I heard from you. The one is just being aware, right, about the generational, baggage, right? So if I'm not aware of myself, I'm never even asking that question, like, hey, what did my parents pass on to me that I don't want to pass on to my kids? In fact, what do I want to transform my kids? My wife and I have, this is a regular conversation at our home. It's like, hey, love my parents. We love her parents, but they got passed stuff down that got passed down to us, And so as long as we're going to say, hey, man, this is in me and I'm okay owning that and say, hey, this is wrong. I need to change this. I think that's just a great place to start, especially for parents. Like if you haven't thought about that, like you could have had great parents, but there's probably 10 to 20% of what they passed down that actually is not healthy or not true. So how do you deal with that? And then the other one was, I'm losing my train of thought here. You were talking about the, we're just defensive or like how hard is it to just say, hey, like, it's not your fault. Like one of the things in our home we say is like, we practice saying, hey, to our kids, daddy was wrong. Will you please forgive me? Our kids and my wife is really
his cute. His wife is a counselor. Okay. His wife's a counselor.
Oh, okay.
My wife, she's phenomenal. So I give her all the credit, and that's where I learned everything. That's true. I get to learn really quickly at our house. But that's something that, that we talk about and we try to practice, because when they get to be parents, we want them to be able to own stuff. Right. And when it goes the opposite way and it's like, you're the problem and I'm deflecting all of my junk onto you or anybody else around me. Number one, I never heal. And number two, you damage other people and you damage your kids, which it's just horrible.
Yeah. I think it's so important that we remember that parents are just people, mm-hmm. and people have problems and people struggle. One of the great struggles of dysfunctional families from my generation and the previous generation is something called narcissism. It is a terrible condition because it stems from trauma. It's difficult to heal, and also it's a condition that teaches you that the problem is always somebody else. And when the problem is always somebody else, you're not going to go get the help that you need. you know, to become accountable and own, you know, what's going wrong in your life and healing. I'm not going to say it's not possible, because I know a lot of people who struggle with narcissism deeply, deeply, and got treatment and are doing so much better. But you know, it is a struggle getting well from that condition. That can be a life sentence too. It's tough.
Yeah. And hurt, you know, the idea hurt people.
Yeah.
Right. That's what happens when someone's got issues, they lash out and it hurts others. Right. And, you know, when we're parents, we're all parents, and we have three young kids. So is Trav. And sometimes my wife and I argue right in front of them and we feel terrible. And we, you know, we got to sit them down and say, mommy and daddy love each other very much. We're very sorry. And sometimes we have, you know, large discussions, and sometimes mom and daddy don't agree on everything. And we love you guys. We love each other. We're trying to learn how to have good discussions if you don't agree, right? You just have to be honest with your kids. You have to be like real in front of your kids. You have to be able to think from a kid's perspective. You know, I think, you know, a lot, and I know I want to ask you the next question is, if you're a parent out there hearing this, what are some good tips? But, you know, one thing that comes to mind for me is like this idea of self-talk with parents and with kids. Everyone should have this healthy inner dialogue. You know, if you're listening right now, what do you tell yourself during the day? Are you the kid who gets picked last? Do you say that to yourself? Are you the kid that gets seized? Is that how you say to yourself? Are you the kid that thinks that it's your fault because someone else is blaming you? You immediately just take all the blame and you just wear it? Is that, you know, what is your self-talk? What's your inner dialogue like? And my hope is that, you know, especially if you want to be an entrepreneur, okay? Because everyone listening here is like either entrepreneurs or aspiring to want to be, you need to have a positive self-talk. You need to be encouraging yourself. You need to be lifting yourself up. You need to be loving yourself. You need to have an abundant mindset of the future. The future is wide open for me. And the world wants me to succeed. And the people around me love me and want me to do well. Like, that type of talk leads to where we're all at eventually. And the faster you do it, the better off it'll be. But if you tell yourself things like, I don't get picked first. I don't get A's. I am not loved. This person never will like me. You know, I can't be free of this problem. It will never get better. That self-talk is an infection in your body, just like a cut that goes bad and hurts really bad and you have to go get medicine. Same thing with negative self-talk. So Aaron, are there any tips you have for families or parents on this issue?
Oh my goodness. Yes. That was a big, big problem of mine, is that I had to examine and identify the negativity in my voice when I was speaking to myself. And I had to make peace with that, and I had to shut that voice down. And you know, I kind of almost went to war with that voice. It was so bad in me. Like, it was pretty extreme. You know, there are a lot of really great ways that you can identify that voice and deal with it. One of the most powerful for me was, I imagined that I was speaking to my best friend the way that I was speaking to myself. And then it all seemed horrifying. It all seemed so horrifying. I would never say these things to my best good friend. And so anytime, you know, I would catch myself being cruel to myself. I would think, you know, would you say that to your best buddy? And the answer was a big emphatic no. And I wouldn't even talk to my dog that way. That was a really, really great exercise, sort of being empathic with myself and realizing that that language was just so self-harming, and it just kept the negativity going in me, and it wasn't good for me or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read the book, because I really want to hear your story. And I know, you know, Scott was talking about this earlier. We have lots of kids that are, you know, launching their businesses for the first time. They're kind of putting themselves out there. And really for the first time, discovering what they're good at, their passion, you know, whatever that kind of they lose track of time doing and kind of putting that into what Scott was saying is a sweet spot. So sometimes some of the negative talk for even kids that don't necessarily, they've got a great home life is like, I can't do it. Or, you know, I don't think I can do this, or I'm not going to make anything great. Could you share a story that you've seen at Scribe Media where y'all taken just an everyday person, nobody knew about them. They had amazing wisdom that you pulled out and then y'all shared it with the world and made a huge impact. So does anybody come to mind just to inspire kids? Because every kid is, we believe every kid is a one of a kind, unique, amazing human that can change the world. So that was my big question. And I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, we're actually, I think, working on a second project with this gentleman. He's amazing. All right, this guy, his name is Andre Norman. Are you familiar with him?
I love Andre.
He's absolutely incredible. And just such a great dude to work with and for. And you know, the energy that he's putting out into the world is absolutely incredible. Long story short, this is a gentleman who went to prison and society had completely written him off. And now he is, an advocate for peace and prison reform and, reinventing yourself, reinventing your life, and turning everything around. He believes it's never too late for anyone. And he's just an incredible human being. And the name of his book is on the tip of my tongue.
What Ambassador of Hope.
Ambassador of Hope. Yes, I did the cover. I should know this. I did the cover. He's a wonderful human being. And it was such it was an honor to work for him.
How did y'all find him? Like, what, do you know the backstory about how he... how his story just came to you, or where you could kind of, you know.
I wish I could tell you, but I'm so glad that we work with this guy. He's just amazing.
I think it's from Genius Network, Travis.
Is it?
Yeah, he works for Genius Network.
Oh, okay.
If anyone in Genius Network, including Tucker or myself, ever has a family member or friend that's in trouble, he will drop everything and fly there that day. That's how amazing this man is. And he will help interventions, addiction, you know, family tragedies or emergencies. He will drop everything and go. That's his commitment to everyone in Genius Network. It's an incredible thing. And that's the kind of person he is. And you guys helped become a mouthpiece for his story to the whole world, to provide hope to a lot of people who are struggling. So,
see what I'm saying? My job is amazing. I love it. That book is so good.
There are cool jobs out there, believe me. And it's our job to try to teach them that there's infinite amount of things you can do with your life. Yep. As long as you are, you know, serving and loving other people and that you're living into who you're made to be and your favorite things and your gifts, that's the sweet spot. So this is great. This has been an amazing conversation, Aaron. One more question, then we'll wrap it up. First of all, everyone needs to grab the book, The Bad One. That's the first step here. Go to Amazon. It's available. It's out now. Leave a review. I always tell people who buy a book, leave a review right away. It helps the author so much. It's like a gold star. It really matters. But if there was one thing you want people to hear this podcast with, what would be the parting words?
My parting words would be, you know, love yourself. Just radically, radically love yourself. There's nothing wrong with self-love. There is nothing wrong with telling yourself you're beautiful, you're smart, that you can do it, that you can change things, that you can have a positive impact, that you can be a person that adds value to the world, that you could be a mother, a father, you could be anything. Love yourself. Love yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
That's amazing.
It's the only sure bet is to love yourself. And a lot of other people love you too. Sometimes they just don't say it or show it very well. So love yourself. Then you've always got someone in your corner no matter what. I love that. Well, Aaron, thank you so much again for your time today. It was fantastic. And we wish you all the best success in the world. we hope a ton of people can head over and grab it and hear your story. It's already been inspiring to us. And thanks for everything you're doing at Scribe Media too. I know you guys, I know personally dozens of people who have had you guys help write their books and tell their stories and publish them. Scribe Media, if you guys want to Google them, look them up. They help write stories for the world's most amazing people. And that could be you. So look them up. And thanks again. We'll talk to you guys next time on the next episode of Young Grit.
Today's podcast was made possible by MyFirstSale.com, a marketplace and community of kid entrepreneurs who are on a mission to change the world. If you want to empower your kids to take on the real world and make hundreds of dollars in their first small business, head over and check out MyFirstSale.com and join the community today. Okay, folks, we have a simple memory trick for you to make sure today's lessons stick deep down in your mind. It's called FAT, F-A-T. Yeah, I said it, FAT. Follow, act, and tell. So follow, the F is for follow us. We'd love for you to subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, or head over to myfirstsale.com/podcast and don't miss out on any future episodes. The A is for act. Take the next step today to be a kid entrepreneur. Head over to myfirstsale.com if you want to learn more about launching your own business as a kid. Join the community of other kid entrepreneurs around the world. And we have weekly videos on grit, delayed gratification, investing, budgeting, and more. And we even have 150 free kid business ideas for you to get the wheels spinning. And then the last part of FAT is T, tell someone. We would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes of your biggest lesson learned, or even simply post this podcast to your Facebook or Twitter and let us know the biggest lesson that you learned to your family and friends. That's it. We'll see you guys next time on Young Grit.